Our Father, we are delighted this morning. We praise you this morning that we can find our faith works when the chips are down, when reality hits us like it's hit Ted, and we still see him with you by his side, looking at this thing with a grateful heart, with optimism, holding on to you because you are faithful, that he can give thanks in all circumstances. God, I ask you to help us now put our murmurings, complainings, anxieties, burdens in perspective. And may we understand that no matter what we're facing, we still can be a thankful people. And I pray in these next few moments, you'll show us how. For we offer this prayer in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. And you may be seated. Entering Thanksgiving week, which is one of my favorite times of the year, I'm always aware that there's a variety of feelings in our midst. Some of us can hardly wait to have a special time set apart to express our gratitude to God because our cups of blessings are full. They're overflowing. And almost in a way that we can't help ourselves, we want to cry out to God, thank you. And we somehow want to do something, at least come to church and tell him what we feel as a result of a good year. And then there's others in our midst carrying heavy burdens, and we've been carrying them for a long time. And it's difficult to conjure up feelings of thankfulness. Sometimes we're hurting so much that when we come to a service like this that's uplifted and filled with praise, we can't identify, we're almost offended because we don't feel that way. In fact, how can we thank God if life for us seems cruel and unfair? And why would Paul the Apostle ask me, hurting as I am, to give thanks to God in all circumstances because this is his will for me in Christ Jesus? How could my pain be God's will for me? Those are very real questions, very legitimate to ask in church. A gentleman met me after the 6:30 service last night. He had a fellow who hadn't been in church since he was 20. He just lost his wife of 57 years. And he says, I'm alone. My life doesn't have any meaning. And one of our doctors had him in his office and said, go over to church. And he came. And last night he began to discover another family, that he really isn't alone. And on go the stories as I look around this sanctuary of what you're carrying. And I want to tell you that as we look at the story of the 10 lepers today, Jesus can give you, in spite of what you're facing, lessons in gratitude that will help you answer the question, how can I thank God when I'm hurting so much? Let's study the text. A first lesson in this story gives insight into the meaning of gratitude, or if you please, what do we mean by gratitude? What are we supposed to give God? The best definition I could come up with is this. Gratitude is our personal realization that God has done for us what we could never do for ourselves. Now, before we can feel grateful to God, it's obvious we must first be in a situation where we need him, where we're in over our heads, where we're going to sink if he doesn't come. Life had been very cruel to these 10 lepers. Stricken with a living death, which leprosy was, they had been ostracized from society. They were doomed to wander around the countryside until they died. They lived in little clans of filth, secluded, lonely, and hopeless. Obviously, for these 10 men, there was nothing they could do to heal themselves. They felt abandoned by society and forsaken by God. Therefore, that day, they came pleading with Jesus, but I imagine not with a lot of expectancy in their heart, saying, Master, have pity on us. And then, to their delight and their surprise, Jesus responded by healing their leprosy. Real gratitude, I would define as an involuntary eruption in our souls that takes place when we've been in an impossible situation and God acts. He intervenes and he comes to us in ways we didn't expect and ways we didn't deserve. And of course, at that point, we can't help ourselves. We just burst forth with words of thanksgiving. Last Tuesday, I received a phone call from my former secretary. She's been on dialysis for months And she's among those hundreds of people waiting for a transplant. And with excitement in her voice, she told me, "Walt, I'm at the hospital. Guess what? God gave me a kidney." She didn't say luck gave it to her. She didn't say by my perseverance I got a kidney. She said, "God gave me a kidney." James the Apostle defines gratitude as recognizing every good and perfect gift comes from God. I'm going to break up the sermon right here and put in a pun. Last week, I had dinner with Dr. Shumway with a group of other people hearing about transplant. And I've decided we as a church can do something tied in with Bobby and her need. There are hundreds of people waiting for organs. And if you haven't yet put on your driver's license to be a donor, I'm going to suggest that would be a wonderful, life-giving thing to do that was made so plain to me, not only at this meeting where we met four heart transplant people who are alive and well. One is a kindergarten teacher here in Menlo Park, but as close as this church, my former secretary is now going to live because somebody thought to put something on their driver's license. Just keep that in mind. Very much part of the sermon, but not really necessarily on the point. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. Being grateful is such a beautiful trait of character. That's why I like this time of year. If we could only get followers of Jesus to be grateful, we've taken a giant step toward Christian maturity. Lewis Smedes, he's a friend of mine, professor at Fuller Seminary, tells of being on vacation and suddenly his lungs were hit with what he called a buckshot of blood clots. For a few days, he was near death. And on the fourth day, his physician leaned over his bed and congratulated him for having survived his 20-to-1 odds according to medical statistics. He was still alive. And this is how he described his reaction, and it's beautiful. He said, "A couple of nights later, in the hush of a hospital room, at 2 o'clock in the morning, alone with no drugs inside of me to set me up, I was seized with a frenzy of gratitude. I blessed the Lord above for the almost unbearable goodness of being alive on this good earth, in this good body, at this good time. It was then I learned that gratitude is the best feeling I will ever have, the ultimate joy of living. It's better than winning a lottery, better than watching my daughter graduate from college, better and deeper than any other really good feelings in the human repertoire." Lewis Smedes tapped into what Jesus is trying to teach us in this story. Gratitude is the ultimate source of joy, the very best gift you can give God, the very best gift you can give yourself. Saying thank you to God is important because it means, brothers and sisters, that we recognize there is a living God involved in the happenings of what's going on in our lives. He's watching you. He's caring for you. And he's guarding you from anything that will detour his ultimate plan for your life. Ted Kanas has been hit with some tough stuff, and he's not on display up here. He's a model that nothing can thwart God's ultimate plan for us. Not life, not death, not financial problems, not illness. And we've got to stop acting like these burdens we carry is going to foul up everything that God ever had in mind for us. Not death, not life, nothing can separate us from the love of God we have in Christ Jesus. And when you learn that, and when I learn it, we'll give thanksgiving to God and we'll have found a major key to being alive and happy in this world rather than whining and complaining and being eaten up by bitterness most of the time. Many of you remember when I was stricken with Bell's palsy. If you don't know what that is, that's a paralysis of the face that hits you overnight. I was helpless to cure myself. I remember it so vividly. I asked God to heal me. I asked my doctor to heal me. And I waited 6 weeks with a paralyzed face, wondering if God would answer my prayer. The doctor said, some are healed, some aren't. We didn't know. And I wondered if I still had a career in ministry. I remember the first morning I was shaving and I began to feel a few tingles of life running down my chin and kind of up my face. And I realized the nerves were coming back to life in that deadness. And I remember it like yesterday. I broke out in thanksgiving that you could hear all over the house of thank you, God, when I was telling my Heavenly Father, you've done it. You've answered my prayer. And I made all kinds of promises that I would use my ministry now that he gave it back to me for his glory, and I'd never complain again, and I kept that one for about 24 hours. And anyway, I was a happy guy that morning, and it made me realize this. Gratitude happens when we realize God has done for us what we can never do for ourselves. That's the first lesson in this story. There's a second lesson. Probably more important. Gratitude gives us a sense of indebtedness to God that develops our character. Our text reads, one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. Notice he wasn't praising Jesus, he wasn't praising fate or something else, he was praising God. And he threw himself at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. A Samaritan was an outcast. He was considered dirt by the Jewish population of that time. They wouldn't talk, they wouldn't relate. And Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? All 10 lepers were healed that day. 9, we assume, were Jewish. 9 had known God probably since they were children. But only one, this Samaritan, who was considered to be an outsider, someone off the street that happened to come into church, this one, the Samaritan, recognized his indebtedness to Jesus. When he came back to say thank you, he was given an incredible insight, and this is the power of this story. This healer, called Jesus of Nazareth, this leper discovered to be far more than that. He wasn't some quack. This guy turned out to be the Son of God. By coming back to say thank you, the leper made the incredible discovery that this was God in the flesh, a God he had never known, a God he thought had forsaken him. A God that had let him run in the wilderness as a leper, this God had come and enfolded him in his arms and healed him. And then he discovered something even more. This Jesus, Son of God, had power not only to heal his leprosy, but he had power to heal his soul and to give him something far more than an extension of his physical life. He received eternal life that day. And so it's very interesting, if you follow this drama, this leper falls on his face before Jesus in recognition of the fact he's God. The leper, you see, changed from his atheism of self-sufficiency into one who recognized his dependence on the living, loving God. And at that point, Jesus says to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. There are 2 healings in this story. His leprosy had already been healed. When he comes back to Jesus to say thank you, his soul is healed by his faith. Gratitude to God, recognizing God as the source of our blessings, is a rare virtue in our society. It's beautiful, but it's rare. As you go about your travels and mine, I'm sure we recognize that many people are filled with false pride, false self-sufficiency, articulated maybe by this bumper sticker I saw the other day, behind every great woman is herself. Now, that could be male or female, but the meaning remains the same, and this is how we feel about us today. Pride is in. I am self-contained. I don't owe anything to anyone, not even God. I'm captain of my fate. I'm master of my soul. Or if you're part of the New Age movement, and that is by the thousands, you even believe you're God yourself, and there's really nothing beyond your potential that you can't do. Now, in contrast to that humanistic atheism is gratitude. And gratitude says, I'm dependent upon God for everything. Everything I am, everything I possess, God has given, and so I'm indebted to God. Gratitude, as Lewis Mead says, seizes our hearts, fills us with joy, and leads us to ask, now, God, what can I do for you? How can I use my resources for you? This is the change in character generated by gratitude. You see, gratitude changes us from being me-centered to God-centered, changes us from complaining and murmuring and whining and being bitter and feeling ripped off and cheated to being grateful. And this change in perspective is one of the most profound changes in character that Jesus should be bringing to our lives as his disciples. Within the last 2 weeks, our church received a check from a couple who later told me why they gave the gift. They had received some unexpected financial blessings, and they said, we want to share our blessings, or we start trusting money rather than God for security. Unless we give, it seems the more we get, the more we think we need. So giving is really a gift to ourselves. It keeps us from coming in bondage to our money. I was very impressed with their statement. As we enter a Thanksgiving week, I want to give you a challenge. If we're truly grateful, true gratitude always leads us to want to share. Hal Urban, one of our elders, wrote a new book, 20 Things I Want My Kids to Know. In it, he describes how easily we become addicted to complaining about what we don't have and blind to our blessings. He teaches high school kids over at Woodside, and he says every year he has an experiment. He suggests that his class go and for 24 hours try to go and not complain once. And never in his many years of teaching has he ever found one student who could go 24 hours without complaining. Then he gives the next assignment. He says, I want you to make a three-column list on a piece of paper. I want you to put in one column the things for which you're grateful, secondly, the people you enjoy, and thirdly, other things like health and freedom and faith. And then he says, I want you to read this list many times a day, particularly when you find yourself complaining. His thesis is that the idea of gratitude can become a habit of the heart, that we learn to complain, we can also learn to be grateful. And we can get this attitude, this habit of the heart of counting our blessings rather than complaining. And if we're Christians, that's a mandate. I want to suggest this week that growing in our sense of gratitude sets us free from a gimme mentality that will absolutely doom us to misery. And it will lead to a sharing perspective that guarantees joy. A thankful spirit, in my opinion, is the highest of Christian virtues. Charles Spurgeon said about Thanksgiving, it's not how much we have, but how much we enjoy. One of the paradoxes of living in this area is that I see people with so much enjoying so little. I trust this year, if God opens your eyes in this service, that you're going to express such gratitude, you're going to begin to enjoy the blessings God has given you rather than put your joy on hold until you get more. From Ted Kanis, we've learned it's possible to be thankful and have joy in all circumstances. Remember that song of the 50s? If you're as old as I am, maybe you would. It went something like, when I'm worried and I can't sleep, I count my blessings instead of sheep. When my bankroll is getting small, I think of when I had none at all, and I go to sleep counting my blessings. Now, you can be grateful I didn't sing that for you today, but the words are there, and it's simple. This week, let's start a habit of thanking God. And wouldn't it be beautiful, the last thing that we do at night, to slip off thanking God for our blessings, and then to wake up in the morning doing the same thing. I tried it last night, and I tried it this morning. It works. Make some lists. Be grateful. Just flood this community with smiles of gratitude and words of gratitude this week. That isn't pie in the sky. I think that's one of the best ways to tell people you know Jesus and that this church honors him, because we're a grateful people in the midst of a society that's lost its gratitude. And to his name be the glory. Amen.